The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Artist's Way. Cassie Nomada's paintings haunt you like the uncertainty of a memory, the kind that has grown hazy, to the point where you are unsure whether it's a true recollection or a dream. What you are sure of is the indelible nature of the images. While Nomada's work captures a blend of modern and historic snapshots of everyday Mozambican life, she also plays with recurring motifs such as conjoined twins, fueling her painting's haunting effect on the viewer. That straddling of reality and fantasy drives onlookers to take a second glance, and Nomada 33 wouldn't have it any other way. I think all my paintings end up as ghosts for me, she says, from Cape Town, several time zones away from her East Hampton, New York studio, represented by Franco's Gallery in Los Angeles. Nomada is in South Africa for her third solo exhibition, Forgotten Limbs, her largest body of work to date. They all linger and let me know when it's time to paint again, she explains. Those artistic ghosts are born of memories amassed during Nomada's multicultural upbringing. She grew up in Mozambique, Kenya, Haiti, and the United States. They are also influenced by the ominous, lingering expression of the colonialism that embedded itself in Mozambique's attitudes and institutions and left its imprint on the country's identity. It's a cultural duality that Nomada must grapple with in all her pieces. Her artwork really comes to life through conflict, as seen in her repetition of conjoined twins and depictions of headless bodies. It's evident she finds beauty in oddities. Where I come from, there's the idea of ugly beauty, and the two can coexist, she says. I love ugly beauty. The self-taught painter admits she has no real formula or ritual to her creative process. As long as she has her materials and a good cup of tea, she's all set. I live a secluded, quiet, and peaceful life, she reflects. It's all quite familiar, and we might add, always full of artistic surprises. The next article is titled 124 Black Women in Hollywood, from Influential Dealmakers to a New Era of Leading Ladies. They are forces to reckon with in film and TV, and they're making things happen. Talia Bridges McHoon. My name is Paul Murray, Through Our Eyes, known for award-winning documentaries on major TV networks. Tracy Oliver, Harlem, First Wives Club, known for being the first black woman screenwriter whose film grossed more than $100 million. Nina Parker, Nightly Pop, known for being an Emmy-nominated talk show host. Issa Rae, Insecure, rap known for signing a 5-year deal with Warner Media following
the success of her Emmy-winning HBO series, Insecure. Natasha Rothwell, Insecure, The White Lotus, known for linking a multi-year deal with ABC Signature to develop new TV projects via her Big Haiti Productions. Lena Waithe, 20s The Chi, known for being the first Black woman to win a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Writing for a Comedy Series. When she's not writing or producing TV and films, Queen and Slim, Waithe can be seen in front of the camera acting. Janine Sherman Barrios, Claus, The Kings of Napa, known for winning an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Writing in a Comedy Series. Yvette Lee Bowser, Run the World, known for being the first Black woman to create and run a TV series, Living Single. Keita Brunson, Abbott Elementary, known for self-produced social media content. Maisha Clawson, Truth Be Told, known for writing and producing series like The L Word,
Generation Q and How to Get Away with Murder. Karen Sist, Our Kind of People, known for serving as executive producer and showrunner of Star and Mixed Dish. But her big break came as a co-producer on Girlfriends for 6 years.
Katori Hall, P-Valley, known for creating P-Valley and Tina, the Tina Turner musical. Courtney Kemp, Power Book 2, Ghost, known for creating the Power Universe at Starz before landing a megawatt Netflix deal in 2021. Shonda Rhimes, Bridgerton, Inventing Anna, known for creating and executive producing award-winning and Emmy-nominated dramas under her production company, Shondaland. Robin Fady, a Black lady sketch show, known for being the first Black woman to serve as head writer on a late-night talk show. Her HBO series, Ableist, won an Emmy for Outstanding Picture Editing for Variety Programming. The next article is titled, Sure Bets. From the very beginning of their courtship, nothing between Niecy Nash and Jessica Betts has gone according to plan. Each woman had sworn off relationships forever, and yet, on August 29th, 2020, they wed in an intimate backyard ceremony in Ventura County, California. Heading to the airport 2 days later, the newlyweds were excited about their honeymoon, during which they hoped to kick-start a mutual dream of, quote-unquote, making love all around the world. They wanted to share their good news with the world, too. We always led with our truth, says Niecy. Nee Carol Denise Inslee. Nash is her first husband's surname. Wherever it lands, we know it's as it should be, because there is no failure in the truth. The Betts. Niecy has taken Jessica's last name, though her professional last name remains Nash. The Betts guessed their recent union might be surprising. Twice before, Niecy, 52, was married to men, one of whom she had officially divorced 8 months prior. No one except her family and closest friends knew she was now married to a guitar-playing singer, 10 years junior, with a crisp lineup, a Colgate smile, and major BDE, despite not being born with one. The least of my attraction is gender, says Niecy, who likes Jessica, doesn't believe in labeling her sexuality, what I was and am still attracted to is Jessica's soul. She was the most beautiful soul I had ever met in my life. Now that I've experienced it, I can't imagine going through life without it. Neither of them was sure how their wedding announcement would go over. Just in case the response was unfavorable, Niecy devised a plan. First, she would change her number. Then she and Jess would simultaneously post the same wedding photo just as their plane was taking off, switch their phones to airplane mode, and escape to paradise, where they would exist blissfully in a technological void. But there was a hitch. The Betts arrived at LAX, bound for Mexico, only to discover that Niecy's passport had expired. One of Niecy's besties, Ava DuVernay, who had directed her in When They See Us, suggested Santa Barbara. So the couple piled into a Sprinter and headed about 90 minutes north. It was on that unexpected road trip that they held hands, prayed, and uploaded their infamous photo, announcing their hers and hers union. A lot of people thought it was like a movie or some promo. Niecy recalls, still in disbelief at the reaction, they started calling everybody, and we were like, this is insane. I never knew why where you lay your head is such a big deal to other people. I was like, people care? She was really shocked, Jessica adds. I knew there was going to be some banter around it, but I didn't know that it was literally going to. Niecy chimes in with her wife, and they complete the sentence together, something they do a lot, break the internet. Nearly 18 months later, I catch up with them via Zoom. An abundance of caution surrounding the latest variant of COVID had kept me from visiting their home, where they film and upload a near constant stream of photos and videos of kissing, canoodling, and doting on each other to social media. Today, they are nestled together on a couch, each wearing a fluffy Versace robe. They are excited to be interviewed, and I have a zillion questions. Many are about The End of Claws, which Niecy starred in for 4 seasons, and her upcoming role in Netflix's Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. I'm also curious about their social media PDAs. What's with all the pictures? I ask. Spoiler, they are madly in love and want the world to know. Also, there's no quote-unquote agenda. Agendas feel very forced, says Jessica. If there's an agenda, it's that we are going to spread queer joy. The world needs it, real talk. Niecy and Jessica are into each other in a way that you rarely see in couples after high school. Their love is wide open, like first loves. Two people who have never been grossly disappointed or had their hearts broken. They're so into each other that in mid-conversation with me, they'll start talking to each other and forget or not care that I'm still there and watching. We are extremely compatible, Niecy states. Sometimes you can be attracted to somebody but don't have a lot in common. But we have such a natural compatibility that we can be around each other, work together, and hang out all day. If there was a 25th hour, we would be right up in it. and not get tired of each other, Jessica adds. I told you they finish each other's sentences. When Niecy declares she's the happiest she's ever been, I ask what it is about Jessica that does it for her. Jess truly sees her, she responds. I ask her to clarify, because I've heard that sentiment before, but I don't really know what it means. It's to be accepted for the truth of who you are all the way around, good, bad, or indifferent, she explains. It's where someone sees your past, your pain, your bullet holes, your stab wounds, whatever you got in a bag over your shoulder when you show up, and they say, I see it all, and I still love and receive you. I feel like the love that I receive from her is custom, as opposed to off the rack. Niecy adds, I feel like the assignment happened in the spirit realm before we ever knew about it. Niecy's joy is palpable. She's gone in a good way, and Jessica is too. I've never seen really said it like that, Jessica quips. She has a casual humor that's understated with perfect timing.
President,
I feel like my Orion wife answers pictures. For the both of
she
us.
She is known
Jessica
for
knowing thoughtfully. Because I absolutely feel fully seen. I feel like all of me is accepted. All of me is loved, and not just the part that I present, but the part that I don't necessarily show to everyone else. But if these two are as deep in love as you can go now, getting together was an uphill battle. Niecy was married to someone else when she came across Jessica's music on social media and followed her. Eventually, Jessica, who was also in a serious relationship, noticed she had a celebrity friend and slid in Niecy's DMs, not to holler, but to ask her to help promote her music. The chemistry that they have now didn't exist at all for the first 4 years they knew each other. Case in point, in 2019, Niecy was staying in Jersey City to film Beauty, a movie written and co-produced by Lena Waithe, and hadn't called her friend to say she was in town. They were so deep in the friend zone that the first time they did hang out in New Jersey, Niecy grabbed dinner with Jess before Jess went on an actual date with someone else. Their next in-person encounter occurred when Jessica said she would meet Niecy at a nearby restaurant and took her sweet time showing up. In fairness, Niecy didn't wait to order or to eat. By the time Jessica arrived, Niecy was licking Cajun crab juice off her fingers. But something was different this time. It was that whispering angel, Jessica deadpans, referring to the well-known Rose brand. I told you she was funny. For her part, Niecy didn't want the night to end and invited Jessica back to her place to watch a movie. I was nervous at dinner because I felt something, Niecy recalls. I could not wrap my head around it. I was trying to see if I was off because I wanted to keep the night going, and the night turned into the rest of my life. She's skipping over the part how, after the movie ended, she walked Jessica to the door and kissed her. Whatever she laid on Jessica prompted her to say, "Do you want to go lay down?" I decided to ask Niecy what I've wondered ever since seeing her and Jessica on Red Table Talk. I warn her first that I'm about to line step, and she gives me permission to proceed. You are with a woman for the first time, I observe. How did you know what to do? I imagine it was different from things you'd done with men before. I didn't, Niecy says, but I was with somebody who did, laughing, Jessica agrees. That's right. Jessica, tell Demetria about your better half, Niecy Prods. Is she a quick learner? Jessica, smiling with most of her teeth. Very quick. Niecy, boom, an A student. Jessica, smiling with all of her teeth. A plus. By both accounts, a very good night was had, and yet the next day, Niecy ghosted Jessica. She got a little scared, Jessica explains. Actually, Niecy was a lot scared. Not only was it challenging for me to realize I'm having feelings for a woman that I've normally had for a man, she says, but it was compounded by the fact that this is my friend. I thought, what I do not want to do is anything that would allow this person to not be in my life for the rest of my life. So I backed up. I was very afraid. Before too long, Niecy reappeared and the two began dating, though they weren't yet exclusive. When Niecy's work took her from New Jersey to New Orleans, she and Jessica would do marathon phone sessions until 3 and 4 in the morning, although supremely happy to just be in each other's life. Jessica had sworn off another relationship, suddenly wanted to be in one again. She started telling Niecy that she was going to be her girlfriend and then her wife. Niecy balked. But instead of running, she nicely but flatly told Jess that wasn't going to happen. So what changed? Niecy, whose default demeanor is lighthearted and playful, gets serious for the first time. I said I was never gonna be married again. That was my pain, she begins. When you are in your quiet time and you're in that private moment, that still small voice says, you know you a wife? I know that God told me and has continued to show me that I'm a wife, she continues. Yes, my previous marriages failed, but the call on your life is still the same. If you get a TV show and the TV show is canceled, do you stop being an actor? No, you find another job. She told me she was gonna Elizabeth Taylor this thing, Jessica jokes. Niecy shoots a side eye at her other half. Jess is playing, but Niecy is being serious right now. It has less to do with Jessica convincing me to do anything and more to do with me being real about the call on my life. She reflects, the call on my life is to be a wife. Niecy said yes to being Jess's girlfriend on Valentine's Day 2020 in July. They got engaged. I got proposed to probably 30 times. We would be doing anything and I'd turn around and she would be on one knee like, marry me, Cora. Niecy says, laughing, referencing Jessica's nickname for her, you gonna be my wife. Once after a swim and spa day with friends, they love themed events such as their pajama brunch for Christmas. Niecy and Jessica had a rare argument after their company left. Something I said, Jess didn't like it. And she was like, when you do this and you do that, it gets on my nerves, Niecy says. And I was like, I don't care about getting on your nerves because you get on my nerves. Jessica picks up the story. In the middle of that exchange, I was like, well, if there is anybody who I want to get on my nerves, it's you, she recalls saying. Niecy's anger melted away, and when Jessica proposed again, this time the answer was yes, as they popped a bottle of champagne and climbed in the hot tub to celebrate. Jessica asked Niecy, when do I get a ring? Niecy told her at the wedding, because that's the way you traditionally do it. Jessica was appalled. We're not traditional people, she bellowed. Niecy, who knows Jessica better than anyone, went upstairs to get a ring she had already bought for her. And I asked her to marry me too, she finishes. Now, inching toward their 2-year anniversary, the Betts are as smitten as they were the day they tied the knot. I'm with my person and I'm happy, Niecy says simply. We are not for everybody and we are not trying to be. We are just JB and Niecy and we love each other. The next article is titled 124 Black Women in Hollywood. From influential deal makers to a new era of leading ladies, they are forces to reckon with in the film and TV, and they're making things happen. Larissa Bell, development executive, Amazon Studios. She is known for discovering and fostering new programs for the streaming platform. Nicole Brown, president, TriStar Pictures. She is known for securing deals for Sony, including the Whitney Houston biopic, Wanna Dance with Somebody. Catherine Busby, president, original programming for Stars. She is known for more than 2 decades of experience producing and developing projects such as Sex and the City movie and The Tracy Morgan Show. Ada, Senior Vice President of Film and Television, Higher Ground. She is known for nurturing storytellers across a variety of genres. Ayo Davis, President of Disney Branded Television. She is known for leading operations for Disney Plus, Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Disney Junior. Tara Duncan, President, Freeform and Onyx Collective. She is known for diversifying content for the network's Gen Z and millennial audience. Channing Dungey, Chairman, Warner Brothers Television Group. She is known for being the first Black president of a major TV network. Jamila Hunter, Executive Vice President of Programming and Development, Freeform. She is known for overseeing development of series such as Grownish and Cruel Summer. Perlina, Chairman, Universal Studio Group. She is known for leading all aspects of Universal Television, Universal Content Productions, Universal Television Alternative Studios, and Universal International Studios.
Cheryl Boone Isaacs, Director Sydney Portier. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.